We're going to get to some verses of scripture in a moment, but I've been led in a strange way this week with what I want to share for this morning. And so alongside the Bible, I've got another black book, and you probably might be more familiar with it as a red book, but it's my own personal copy of the Redemption Hymnal. And I'm going to be quoting from some hymns as we're going through this morning. Because this week I just spent a little bit of time just pondering, looking back over my 64 years, and just thinking about the goodness of God, thinking about the faithfulness of God. Because there's no doubt about it this morning that the God who is the true and living God is our God. And each one of us that are here this morning, from the youngest right through to the eldest, we can all look back however many years it might be, or however few years it may be, of how good God has been, how great God is, but how faithful God has been in so many different ways. And as I looked back, I began to just think about, and I've got to narrow it right down to just four things this morning, but I began to just think about those things which perhaps at times I didn't fully appreciate, but looking back now, I really appreciate with all of my heart, because God was at work. God was doing something which was to bring purpose into my life and into my experience. And the first one, as I've thought about, is that I thank God for having Christian parents. And I thank God that both my mum and my dad were believers. And yes, I've said that there are things that at the time I didn't appreciate. And perhaps growing up as a child, there were things, because they were Christian parents and they had values, which made it difficult as growing up as children to know what we could do and couldn't do, could go to, couldn't go to, and everything else. There were times when I perhaps didn't appreciate what my parents were instilling in my life and my brothers and sisters' lives as we were growing up as children. But now looking back, I can see why. And I value it. I appreciate all that my parents instilled into my life growing up as a young child and into my teenage years. I'd also add to that having godly grandparents. Now, I didn't know the grandparents on my father's side except for my grandmother for just 6 years. She died when I was six. My grandfather died when I was just a few months old. But on my mother's side, I really, really appreciated my grandparents. I could say that I loved them perhaps in a way that I've never loved anybody else. It was a special kind of love relationship with, I had with my mother's parents, my grandparents. And I thank God for everything they did for me, instilling into me, again, godly values. In fact, this Redemption Hymnal, this was given to me from my grandparents on my birthday, February the 13th, 1972. So I was 12 years old when they gave me this, and it's very tatty. It's held together with tape and bits and pieces. Some pages are actually loose in there. Some of the pages at the end, I think, might even be missing. But I valued that book because my grandparents gave it to me at 12 years of age. But then I also, looking back, and this is perhaps applicable to us all this morning in particular, is that I valued a church that encouraged me. We went to church from right when I was a baby. And when I say we went to church, we went to everything. We never missed anything. And nearly every Saturday night there was something going on. And the older I got, the more I wanted to go to church. And I know that in my teenage years, I was at church on twice on a Sunday, Sunday school in between, because I was taking Sunday school. I was doing a children's club on a Monday evening. I would go to a prayer meeting on a Tuesday. I'd go to a youth meeting on a Wednesday. I would go to another Bible study on a Thursday. I'd go to another Bible study on a Friday. And then there was always something on a Saturday evening. And so every night without fail, we would be somewhere in the church having fellowship somewhere. And I look back and I thank God for that fellowship. I thank God for the church where I could go and God's word could be instilled in my heart and in my life, and God's word would give to me values that I would hold dearly still to this day at the age of 64. And so I valued a church that encouraged me, and I've put in my notes here, even if at times I messed up. Isn't that wonderful? And the same could be said with my parents or with my grandparents, and the same with the church. Even at times if I messed up, my parents didn't turn their back on me. My grandparents didn't turn their back on me. And the church didn't turn its back on me. And something even more precious than that, God didn't turn his back on me. Isn't that wonderful? Because our God is a good God and he is a faithful God. And then I also value the fact that I was able to find a Christian partner, a Christian wife, who this year we've been married for 41 years. We've known each other since 1979. And I really, truly want to thank God for leading me to help me to find a godly Christian lady to be my life partner. And I value being married to Elaine. I value Elaine as my wife, as my partner, through these 41 years that we have been together as husband and wife, because I believe with all of my heart, because we sought God, God led us to the one that he wanted us to be with. And that's important, isn't it? Because our future is set out in God's plan and in God's will. So I value having a Christian partner, Christian wife. But specifically what I want to turn to today, having said those various things that I value as well, looking back, I value the hymns that I was brought up with from the Redemption Hymnal specifically, because as you look at the hymns that are in the Redemption Hymnal, and the same with the Making Melody as well, they are hymns that are based upon the truths that are found in the Word of God. And so growing up, we heard the preaching of the Word, but growing up as well, we sang the hymns out of this hymnal, and as we sang the hymns out of this hymnal, I can truly say that there were many, 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 many occasions when God challenged me, not just with the preaching of the Word, but God challenged me with the content of the wording that was found specifically in so many of the older hymns. And that's what I'm going to turn to for a moment, because we're going to look at a few of these hymns, because, as I've said, they just challenged me. Just recently, you'll know that we've been going through the devotions, those that read them. We've been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I mentioned in that that one specific hymn, 642, in the Redemption Hymn, all numbers are coming from, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. All I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure. He is all I need. And I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ on May the 18th in 1969, I was 9 years of age, and I knew at that moment, because of the godly values and the Word of God and everything else, I knew that when I committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he truly was going to be all that I would need. And as the scripture says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be satisfied, we will be filled. And it says, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added. And so if we really want to know our lives to be fulfilled and to be blessed, we need to know what it is to allow Jesus Christ to be to each one of us all that we need. Jesus first. And as we allow Jesus to be first in our hearts and in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our careers, in everything, we will find that Jesus truly will add everything else that we are needing in our lives. And so that hymn, right from a youngster, became so special to me. Jesus Christ is all I need. And verse 5 says, He is the treasure of my soul. All I need. And the reason being because He has cleansed and made me whole. He is all I need. No one else could cleanse me. I couldn't cleanse myself. There's no other religion in this world that can offer anything to cleanse me. My good works, my self-righteousness could never cleanse me. I needed Jesus as my Saviour. And Jesus is the one that cleansed me and made me whole. And therefore, He's the treasure of my soul. What is your treasure today? What is your treasure today? Sadly, too many believers still have their minds and their hearts set upon the things of the world, and they allow them to become more important than to allowing Jesus to become the treasure in their heart and their life. They live more for pleasure. They live more for so many things of the world rather than living for the one who has cleansed them and made them whole. And some of these hymns that we sing them, and I don't think that we truly mean what we sing sometimes. And we need to challenge ourselves when we sing these songs. And this is why I'm sharing what I'm sharing this morning, because when I used to sing these songs, I would listen, I would read, and I would think to what the words were saying, and I would have to challenge my own heart. Do I really mean what I'm singing from these hymns? Jesus Christ truly has become to us all that we need, then we would know what it is to live only and holy unto Him. And then the second song that just really blessed me, was a real challenge to me as I was growing up, and I've mentioned this one before, but it's 546. And this song perhaps has been one of the key hymns in my life in seeking out God's will and my purpose for me. Is 546. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thy endless mercy seal, and make my the sacrifice complete. And I've said it before when I've shared part of my testimony before. I knew from a young believer, from 9-10 years of age, I knew that God's purpose for me was to become a minister, a pastor in the church. And I joked about it because this is real. This is what used to happen. Living on the farm, I used to go down to the field and I'd call the cattle to me, because you could call them to you, and I would preach the gospel to them. And I used to take our sheepdog, and I'd go down and I'd sit with the sheepdog down in one of the barns, and I would just share the gospel with the sheepdog. And the poor dog, Perky his name was, has been led to the Lord so many times, there's no doubt that if there's no dogs in heaven, he's going to be in heaven. Because I wanted to talk about Jesus. And this hymn was so applicable to that. Lord, I'm ready. As a youngster, I would say, Lord, I'm ready for all thy perfect will. And so verse 3 was so applicable. Still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up thy gift in me. What God had planted in my heart, I wanted the help of the Holy Spirit to help me to guard that, so that nothing of the world, nothing of my peers, nothing of those around me would snuff that out, but it would be guarded so that when the time came, it would be fanned into flame to be the person that God had called me and wanted me to be. So thou who camest from above. And then another one that was so special again, and I can only, there's a loose page, so I can only list a couple of them this evening, but this morning. But number 65, fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being, that's so important and should be important to each one of us who have come to know Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, that our whole being, everything about us, thy being and that my own being may proclaim thy being and thy ways, which means that as we're going about our daily business, that who we are and what we are in Christ Jesus should be showing something of who he is and of what he's done in our hearts and in our lives. And then it goes on, fill me, fill every part of me with praise. Let all my being speak of thee and of thy love, O Lord. Poor though I be and weak, so shalt thou, Lord, from me in me receive the glory due, and so shall I begin on earth the song forever new. And I know when I was growing up, I could sing that hymn, but sometimes I would be singing with hymns, with tears streaming down from my eyes, because I really just wanted to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted him to be the one who was the center of who I am. See, so many of these hymns, they're rich in theology, and because of that, the theology that's within them encouraged me as a young child towards Christian growth and towards Christian maturity, and to cause me to seek out above anything and everything else, to seek out God's will for my life. And I've got to go to hymn number 610. I want my life to be filled with praise to thee, my precious Lord divine, who died for me. Lord, let all my will be thine, controlled by love divine. Live out in me thy life, O Saviour. And it's a chorus which is so important. Thy blessed will divine, with joy I make it mine. My heart shall be thy throne, and thine alone. Choose thou the path I tread. That's so important. Older ones today, younger ones today, children here this morning, I know you're doing the work that Norman has given you to do, but let me tell you this morning, as young as you are, make this your prayer. Choose thou the path I tread, and whither I am led, help me to follow on, O mighty Saviour. So that's a lengthy introduction. Don't worry, the rest won't be quite so long. But why have I shared all of that this morning? Well, I trusted if I was to stop now, that what I've shared would have challenged us and encouraged us in some way. But the reason why I've shared all that, because it links in with a couple of verses which were laid upon my heart for this morning. And strangely enough, I entered the devotions on Thursday or Friday, as how bad my memory is, it's one of them anyway, with one of these verses. Then on Friday evening, as Billy was sharing God's word, he also quoted from one of these verses. And the two all together, but one of them I discovered, because I've also got the music edition of the Redemption Hymnal, so I got that out to check what verse was above 610, and it happens to be the verse that I'm going to quote this morning. The first one is from Psalm 143, verse 10, which says that, teach me. It's a prayer. It's a request from the heart to God. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. And then it says, let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. And then the second one we know so very, very well is from the book of Proverbs. And it's Proverbs chapter 3, and it's verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do you notice from both the verses, level paths, straight paths? I want to say to the younger ones that are here this morning, if you have Christian parents, and if you have Christian grandparents appreciate them. Appreciate them. And when you think that sometimes they're being a little bit hard on you, when they say that you can't do this or you can't go there, or they rebuke you because of something you've said, which is not good speech for a believer, just understand that because they're godly parents or godly grandparents, they're seeking to instill something in you which will give you a sound basis for building your life upon. And I said I didn't always appreciate what my parents used to say, especially my father. But I thank God that it did something in me. It kept me, helped to keep me on a straight path, because God was behind it all. So appreciate your godly parents and godly grandparents. Secondly, going back to what I've said about the hymns, when we sing, let's mean what we sing. Otherwise, don't sing it, because we're lying. The third thing is, let's allow what the Word of God says to be not only our instruction, but let's allow it to be our delight. I delight to do your will, O my Lord. We need to learn God's ways, and we need to walk in his ways. Find out the path. Young people in particular, this morning, as you've got your life ahead of you, you might think that you've got time to do this, you've got time to do that, you've got time to be involved in all sorts of things, but if they're keeping you away from the things of God, they will lead you down the wrong path. And we need to find out God's paths, and we need to walk in his path. Let's go back to Psalm 143. And a few verses on, it says in verse 8, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. But this is the part in the verse, it says, make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. And to each one of us today, however old we are, or however young we are, but in particular to you of a younger generation, make this your prayer. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. But most importantly, say to the Lord, make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. And I can assure you, if we ask God, if we come before God, if we plead with God to make us to know, help us to know the way that we should go, he will lead us in it. Because he's a God who wants to direct our paths and to make them straight for each one of us. The King James Version says for that verse, cause me. I love that, those two words. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And I've mentioned about when I was a youngster, preaching to the cattle, preaching to the dog, sometimes preaching to the sheep, making sure there's nobody of my brothers and sisters watching me. It's because I had known, God had caused me to know something of what was his will and his purpose for me. Cause me. It's almost as if we're saying to God, God, there is so much else going on around me. Blot it out and cause me, help me, come to my aid, so that I would know the way wherein I should walk. See, it's a request for the Lord to give the direction, to give the pathway for our lives. For those of us that drive, I would guess, perhaps we would say, one of the best accessories in a car today is the sat-nav. Now, I don't care for the sat-nav in the car we've got, because it takes you down the road you don't want to go. And I switch it off. I sometimes, by when I've got it on, I know where I'm going. So we find that the sat-nav is a useful accessory, but we can manage without it. We can manage without it. Just get a printed map and look at the map. But God's walking instructions must never be considered as an accessory. Never. God's walking instructions must be considered as an essential. Walk without it, we will go astray and we will get lost. But walk with it, walk with his instruction, we'll be led on straight paths, we will walk in his will, we will walk knowing he is ahead of us, leading us forward. Proverbs 3, 5-6. How often can each one of us say that it's been quoted to us, been given to us, or we've given it to somebody else, quoted it to somewhere else? Let me read it again. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. How often have we read it? How often have we quoted it? But we need to underline some of those words. And I've underlined them here in my pencil. And first of all, I've underlined the word trust. Trust in the Lord. We need to trust him. First by coming to faith. But then we need to trust our lives in his hands. We say, God, I trust you. Everything. 100%. Trust in the Lord. As it goes on to say, with all of your heart. How many of us allow God to just have a percentage of our heart? Maybe an hour or so on a Sunday morning, and the rest of the week we just do what we want. Trust in the Lord with all. Him first. Him in control. Him sovereign. Him Lord in our hearts and in our lives. And then it says, do not lean on your own understanding. Because our own understanding will get us anywhere and everywhere, but not where we need to be. Do not lean on your own understanding. And then there's the word all again. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight paths for you. I'm going to close with the mention of another song. 495. I know that this was one of John Armstrong's favourite, and I love this hymn. Not one of us knows what lies ahead. Not one of us knows what lies later today. We haven't got a clue about tomorrow. We might have plans tomorrow to go down to Lincolnshire for a few days. And if it's God's will, we'll get there. But we're not guaranteed the breath that we're breathing today, tomorrow morning. And we're not guaranteed the week after, the month after. We're not guaranteed 2025. We don't know. We haven't got a clue. We plan. We prepare. But there's one thing about it, that the God that we read of in the scripture, the one who is the true and living God, the one who will make straight our paths, he knows about tomorrow. He knows about next week. He knows about next month. He knows about next year, 2025. He knows, in the volume it says in Psalm 139, he knows in the volume the amount of days that have been given for each one of us to live. And I've planned for tomorrow. I've planned for the rest of this week. And I'll plan for next week, and et cetera, et cetera. But what is important is this, that if any of my plans are wrong, that I allow God to come and adjust it. Adjust it. Because this is the reason, because it says in this song that God holds the key of all unknown. And I can say what it says in a second, and I am glad. I am glad. If other hands should hold the key, or if he trusted it to me, I might be sad. You know, if he trusted the key to me, it would get lost. I don't know how many times that we've looked in the house for the door key, and we can't find it anywhere. And I said, I kind of left it in the door when we came in last night. So I go outside and there's the key in the front door all night. I left the door open last night, or unlocked last night, and the car unlocked last night. That's how bad I am with keys. So I'm glad that God holds the key more than that. And I am glad. What if tomorrow's cares were here without its rest? I'd rather he unlocked the day, and as the hours swing open, say, my will is best. The very dimness of my sight makes me secure, for groping in my misty way, I feel his hand, I hear him say, my help is sure. I cannot read his future plans, but this I know. I have the smiling of his face, and all the refuge of his grace, while here below. And then the hymn writer comes to this conclusion, one word in particular, enough. That's enough for me. That's sufficient for me to know that God knows, God cares, he's got the key. Enough. This covers all my wants, and so I rest. For what I cannot, he can see. And in his care, I saved shall be forever blessed. Can I say, as I close this morning, if you really want to know what these words in this hymn are talking about, you need to know that you're in his care. You need to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You need to allow him, you need to own him as your Lord. And not just Lord of a little bit, but Lord of all. Lord of all. Because if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So I've shared from these hymns, I've shared from those two verses. And the challenge to each one of us, as the same as it is still for me, even though they have perhaps been my guide through these 64 years, is that I need to keep coming to that place where I daily surrender my life to him and allow him to guide my path and to make it straight for me. And perhaps you've been on the way for a long time. And it may be that as I've shared what I've shared this morning, that really your Christian faith is not something that really is, what would I want to say, really a total commitment. It's just almost for some, it's just like a ticket to heaven. It's like a sticky plaster. It's almost as if we use God like we would use 999 in an emergency. But we need to be living every day, every moment of every day, allowing him to be the one that is sovereign in our hearts and lives. May God help us, every single one of us, myself included, to come to that place where we allow the fan to flame that which is in us, to burn only for him, to be on fire for him, to live for him.